Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. And Lord, we do pray that you would just simply take our lives and take our hearts. And Father, through your Holy Spirit, as we dive into your word, would you reveal to us that which you want us to know? Help us to simply grow in our faith and serve you and your people relentlessly. Father, it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So today, my sermon title may be one that kind of throws you off a little bit, where it says, I'm done trying to follow Jesus. And the reason that where I say that is from prior experience of blowing it in trying to follow Christ. You see, as a pastor over the years, I've tried to read all these books and try to go to all these conferences and figure out how is the most effective way to follow Jesus and to lead people towards Jesus. And what I found was that I had so much information, I didn't really ever just simply follow Jesus. I read all these books, I did all these things, and I was like, hey, I've got a lot of information. I've got a lot of knowledge in this little noggin of mine. I think I can fix this problem. I was arrogant and prideful in thinking, I think I can figure out how to follow Jesus, and I can take other people with me. Because after all, I love trying to have the answers for everything. I love trying to figure it out. I am arrogant enough to think I can do it. But what I found is when you read God's word and when you just surrender to him, you see that following Jesus really has nothing to do with you. Instead, following Jesus happens because he gives us that faith. And he calls us to follow him, and he allows us to follow him, and he equips us to follow him. And so we start in Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 15. And this is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry on earth. He preaches, he teaches, he heals, he calls the disciples to follow him. And this is what happens. And we see in all of our readings, especially the Old Testament and gospel reading, how in verse 15 of our gospel reading, it's actually Isaiah 9. Because Jesus and Isaiah is being prophetic and saying, this is what the world is going to look like when Jesus comes on the scene. And what's interesting is, you know what? The world looks the same today, too. Not much has changed over the last couple of thousand years, other than technology, maybe. But here's what's happening. Isaiah describes this place as Jesus enters, of people walking in darkness. They're unable to find their way. They're lacking the ability to help themselves, even though a lot of times we think we have more than enough ability to help ourselves, like me. Jesus enters this picture, and he's the light of the world. He shines his light of forgiveness and grace and hope on the dark world, starting in Galilee, where he calls his disciples, he preaches, he teaches, he heals. And here's what's awesome. The disciples then, Jesus enters into their world. And you and I, as followers of Christ, as his people who he loves, he enters into our world, our mess, our fears, our hurt, our brokenness, and he shines the light in the darkness of our mess and our fears and our hurts and our world. Every day. So, without the light of Christ, you and I are dead. Without the light of Christ, we're stuck in the darkness for eternity. And I don't know about you, but I like light. When we moved into our house here in Knoxville, we quickly discovered, even on a beautiful day, we could open the curtains in the back of the yard and look out, and it looked like a cloudy, wintry, dreary day. We go in the front of the house, and it was bright. We're like, what's going on here? And then we noticed that there was like 15 trees in the back that were unkept, that were probably just volunteer trees at some time. And there was no grass in our yard. There was a little bit of weeds and a lot of clay, but no grass, which may mean there still will be no grass later. But I'm going to try because I like having the answers to everything and I like a fight. So we cut down like 15 trees in our house. And now there is light and there's going to be grass. Same thing. We walked in our house. We look at the walls. And there's Dijon, like ugly, brown, and dark, and dreary over almost the whole house. We painted it. Why? We like natural light. We wanted the light to come in. We like the brightness of the light. It's one reason I love the sanctuary. That the blue color or gray, whatever your eye sees. We could have a debate on that. It's not purple, Pastor Rich, no. It's beautiful and bright. Why? We're worshiping the light of the world. We should be in a bright sanctuary doing that. And we are. We've seen a great light, verse 16 says. And this great light is Christ himself. And the Gospel of John really hits this hard. Talks a lot about this. It says, in him was the life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. I'm the light of the world, Jesus says. He's constantly saying, and throughout scriptures, constantly calling Jesus the light of the world. And so Jesus enters in as this light, and he begins by preaching. And this is his first sermon, and it says Jesus began to continually preach. That's really what it's saying when it says he began to preach. He began to continually preach. He continues. And do you realize the first message that Jesus said that he preached is not have hope? It's not do not be discouraged. Peace be with you. Instead, it's repent. That's not exactly the first message that I would expect him to say, but that's what he does. Be repenting, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then in verse 18, he encounters Simon Peter and Andrew. And it appears by the Gospel of John, he had met them sometime earlier. This is probably not the first time he's encountered them. But it is the first time he calls them as disciples. In verse 19, he says this, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And this is a little confusion because it says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. But that you is really the word it should be in the Bible. Follow me, and I will make y'all fishers of people. It's less confusing for us when they use that word, y'all. Here's the deal. That y'all still applies to us too. Go and make disciples of all nations. All is y'all. Y'all is all. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, baptizing. That's the call of followers of Christ still today. Not just the disciples, the 12 or the over 100, but all disciples. See, maybe we should repent of what we have been, but rejoice in what Jesus makes us. The great preacher of yesteryear, Charles Spurgeon, once said, "It's not follow me because of what you are already. It's not follow me because you may make something of yourselves, but follow me because of what I will make you." And that's why we follow Jesus, not because of we could go, "Oh, look how awesome we are. We're following Jesus." No, it's because of what Jesus makes us and how he works in and through us. He's the one who's doing the work, not you and I. That's hard for us type A's sometimes. But that's the reality. Jesus is doing the work. And there's pictures of following Jesus all throughout history, throughout the scripture. And in early Jewish writings, the description of a follower of Christ was one who would have dusty feet. Meaning, he was to cover himself and the rabbi's feet. He would walk so closely behind the rabbi that he was following that he would walk in the dust that stirred up by the rabbi's sandals. And so as a result, he would then have dusty feet. And that's the picture of discipleship, of following Christ. One who walks behind Jesus so closely that he watches and imitates their every move and action. Actually, I've never been there, but if you go to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, you may see this played out, where there is at times an old white-haired rabbi limping along, bent over, and he's followed by these young, vivacious men who are bent over, walking just like him, because they want to follow everything. Now, see, I'm glad I follow Jesus and not Pastor Rich. Because if I followed Pastor Rich, I'd have this kind of walk, you know? And I can't do that. He does that. You'll see it later today. Just watch. Just watch. So, here's what happens. Maybe that walk, the one where you imitate, should be ours. Maybe we should have dusty feet instead of dusty Bibles. We should be a people here at Grace. We should be known as the dusty feet people and not as a dusty Bible people. That's why Pastor Rich and I like implore you all the time to just get in the Word, be in a Bible plan, a reading plan. Hey, if you don't do it every day, don't beat yourself up. Just do it the next day. Just continue on through God's Word, because God's Word has power. We follow Jesus by following him who gave us this amazing resource that tells about his life, death, and resurrection, and as a result, tells not that you were dead, but you were alive because of Jesus and his work in your life and in this world as the light of the world. And so, as he's calling these disciples to fish for people, notice whenever Jesus is talking about fishing, he's usually not talking about a little rod and reel here. These fishermen, it was a hard, burdensome task, and a lot of times with little fruit, and they would have these giant nets. It mentioned they were repairing the nets. And so this visual of fishing is sometimes hard for us because we're just used to talking about like fly fishing or rod and reel. Most of us probably don't use a giant net. But when we fish, what happens? The fish is caught. Maybe you take a picture of it. You kill it, you cook it, you eat it. Well, when we're fishing for people, we don't catch them and kill them and cook them and eat them, right? I mean, you don't take a picture of, "Hey, here's Earl, I've been discipling him." Like, you don't do that. It would be weird and awkward for Earl. And anybody else. But what we do is we remove them from death by Jesus saying, follow me, make disciples. We tell people about Jesus and the joy and the hope and the forgiveness that he brings so they are removed from death eternally to life eternally. A man by the name of Ray Pritchard told this story about a fishing story. And there was this lake where each day people who would fish there would maybe get two or three fish each time. But there was this one guy who was getting 200 and 300 fish every time he was fishing. And so the game warden was intrigued. Word got around, and the game warden went to this man's door one morning, and he just, hey, sir, how are you doing? Hey, do you mind if I go fishing with you today? He said, no, come on. And so they get the boat prepped, and they're getting everything ready to go. And the game warden is a little intrigued because when they're getting on the boat, the man has no rod and reel. He has no bait. He has no tackle box. He just has this small duffel bag. And the game warden's like, okay, well. They get on the boat. They proceed to go into the middle of the lake. And all of a sudden, without really any warning, the fisherman stops the boat, turns off the motor. He opens his duffel bag. He takes out what looks to be a piece of dynamite. He lights it. He throws it in the water. Boom! All these fish that are stunned come right bubbling to the top. He starts his boat. He gets a big net, and he grabs the net, and he just grabs the fish. And the game warden is a little shocked at what just had happened, and he says, hey, hold on. What are you doing? This is highly illegal. But the man just laughs. He steers the boat in another direction. He sees another piece of dynamite. He lights it, throws it in the water. Boom! Grabs a fish. The game warden is beside himself. He's saying, mister, you've broken the law so many times. I can't even begin to describe. You're disturbing the peace. You've got illegal firearms here. What's going on? Like, what is happening? Well, as he's saying that, the fisherman or detonation expert, whatever you want to call the guy, he decides to light a third piece of dynamite. He hands it to the game warden. And he says, are you going to talk or are you going to fish? That's really our problem. A lot of times, if you're like me, you try to figure out yourself and you try to get people to follow you or probably do something that just isn't what God's calling us to do in the Bible. And maybe it brings fruit, but maybe it's the wrong way. Or maybe you just don't know what to do, and so you do what you think works, like the fisherman with dynamite. Jesus simply says, hey, follow me. I'm going to work it out. I've got it all figured out. I'm going to work through you to share my hope and my forgiveness and my joy. Follow me. See, Jesus made stinky fishermen into fishers of men and women. He can use crackpots like you and me. Jesus makes us more than we can imagine. He's given us more grace than we can imagine. And he uses us in more ways than we could ever imagine to share his hope and his forgiveness and his joy. Let him. Amen. Please rise.